In Matthew 27, 45 through 50, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on the reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other says, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out and with a loud voice and yielded up the spirit." Father, we pray that you would speak tonight, that the weight and the gravity of the death of your Son, who is our Savior and our Lord, our King, God, that it would stir up our love for you, that it would stir up our hatred of our sin, and God, that it would cause us to rejoice with joy unimaginable at the resurrection of our King. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the core doctrines of Christianity. Not that there are no other doctrines, there are many, but the death and resurrection of Jesus are the foundation from which all those other doctrines grow. I mean, think about it. The doctrine of God's love would topple over if it didn't grow out of ground that was wet with Jesus' blood. The doctrine of justification, it would topple over if it didn't grow out of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Tonight I want you to see Him who was forsaken so that we would never be forsaken. The writer Matthew says in under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." We know that all the time leading up to this verse is Jesus is being mocked, He is being spat upon, He is being cursed, He is being humiliated before His creation. Now He's fastened to the cross. And there are many miracles that take place during the crucifixion. And this verse is one of those miracles. From noon until 3 p.m., there was darkness all over all the face of the earth. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, he's one of the earliest ones we have the writings of still to this day. He's there right on the heels of the disciples. And on one occasion, in one of his letters to some unbelievers that he was trying to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he records this miracle. He uses this miracle to prove that truth. He says to them about the miraculous darkness, "This wonder is related in your own annals and is preserved in your archives to this day." So in the day of Tertullian, he is arguing the truth of the gospel to those around him by alluding to the darkness that took place on the day that Jesus hung on Calvary. Though no one understood it, it was recorded in their records. What was this darkness? It appears that it was more than just a dust type of darkness. It appears to have been more of like a cave-like darkness. The fact that no one says anything about what happened in that time probably means that it was so dark no one could see anything happening to record. Though we have things, tons of things before and tons of things after, we hear no words in the middle. But we know what happened. We know because the darkness is broken when Jesus breaks that his own silence in verse 46. It says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" So after 3 hours of darkness, Jesus finally cries out of the darkness those words, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" And the author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, informs us as to what was actually being said. The reason he does this is because there was a misunderstanding as to what Jesus actually cried. Look at verses 47 through 49. It says, and as some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read those who are Greek scholars. And what I learned is that Elijah, save me, sounds a lot like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of course, not in the English, they sound nothing alike, but in the Greek, they sound alike. And for this reason, the inspired author explains exactly what Jesus is saying. He is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is the question that Jesus cries out in the ninth hour that explains the darkness. This was the abandonment of the Son by the Father. This was the true pain of the cross, was the fact that God the Father turns His back on God the Son. Jesus, in that time on Calvary's tree, He is bearing the wrath of God for those who were His. It was in those hours that Jesus is forsaken by His Father. It was in that darkness that Jesus, though He had no sin in Him, took our sin on Him. The death of Jesus was not for the idea of sin. The atonement that Jesus is taking place in Jesus on that cross is not for the possibility that sinners would be saved. No, He is accomplishing something. He is dying and paying the penalty for every sin that every believer ever committed. You think about that. When He died, He wasn't dying for the possibility of your salvation. He was dying to purchase you back from the pit. He was dying to set you free from your sin. He hung there on that tree for you who believe. Listen to verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up the spirit. Jesus is the only person who ever lived who did not have to die. What do I mean by that? Exactly what I said. He's the only person who ever lived who had a choice as to whether or not to die. You remember when Pilate is questioning Jesus, it's the exact words are not recorded in Matthew here, but you have the conversation between Jesus and Pilate, and at one point Pilate says to Jesus, after he's heard the accusation of all the Jewish leaders, and he says nothing, and Pilate is aggravated, and he goes, do you not understand that I have the power to set you free or crucify you? And Jesus says, you would have no power over me at all unless it was given to you by my Father from above. He says on another occasion, he says of his own life, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father, the only one who ever lived that did not have to die. Freely, He laid down His life for you. Freely, fully knowing everything about you. Yet still, He gave up His life. Matthew does not record the last words of Jesus. He just says He cried out again with a loud voice. But we learn from other Gospels that He said in John's, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Jesus cried, tetelestia, it is finished. These are the words that will be cried out by the high priest on the Day of Atonement when they would sacrifice all of those animal sacrifices. At the end, the end of the blood being poured out, the high priest would cry out, "Tetelestia, it is finished." Jesus, who is our high priest and our sacrifice, on that day, he cried out, "It is finished." That what needed to be done had been done. The price that needed to be paid had been paid. Every sin of every person who would ever believe in him was paid for on that day. Completely and forever. When Jesus died, he died for you. In your place, condemned he stood. He was forsaken so that you would never be forsaken. Ever. As Legan Duncan said, the only person that will be gathered in heaven on that day when we're worshiping God, the only person in heaven who will know what it's like to be forsaken by God is Jesus. And it was on Good Friday that he was forsaken for you. Let the weight of that sink in to your heart tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. And we pray tonight as we dismiss and we do this last responsive reading. God, I pray that God, that you would just move in us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.